The Psalms, the Law, the Prophets, they are they. Search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you have the spirit of prophecy in you. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And boy, it's a blessing tonight to know that we Christians understand the New Testament prophecies, the fulfilling of New Testament prophecies. You might want to write these down if you'd like to. There were 109 or thereabout prophecies literally fulfilled with Jesus come to earth the first time. Literally fulfilled. Now, let me tell you something. If those 109 were fulfilled literally at his first coming, we have no reason to doubt that all those hundreds of others, or however many they are, will not be fulfilled literally when he comes again. We have a tendency these days, a lot of scholars do, to spiritualize the second coming of the Lord. The millennium is spiritual. The tribulation is spiritual. It's symbolic. It really doesn't mean anything. I was out in Texas the other day, and the preacher had got into it with some old Church of Christ preacher or something, and he was arguing with Brother Stocker, I think, and he's one that said that everything in the book of Revelation was symbolic and it wasn't really going to happen, because that first part there where he said he sent and signified it unto his angel, unto his servant John by the angel. And he said that signified meant that it was in signals. That's right. And so that there's nothing in the book of Revelation that was literally, you know, there ain't no real dragon, and there's not no real thousand, that it's all symbolic and it's all mystical, and anybody's guess, anybody else's about what it means. But the prophecies that were fulfilled on the first coming of the Lord, if you want to understand something about prophecy tonight, let's start off in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. So take your Bible and turn over there. And I'm going to make you turn your Bibles tonight now. We dig in the Bible on Wednesday night. You just get there, sit there and listen to me scream and holler. And you can be lazy and do that on Sunday morning, Sunday night. But on Wednesday, we want you to get your Bible down and study it. Now to study the Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, here's a great verse, and it's a verse that everybody ought to learn. If you study much in the Bible, you've got to get this verse, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's very important you get that. What does that mean? It means that nobody has the right just to say, well, I dreamed I saw this big thing, and then God showed me that it was the United States, and then I saw Clinton, and Clinton was on the beast, and then God showed me that Henry Kissinger was an antichrist. Now all that, you know, that's what's called private. Oh, I should have brought you into that magazine. Did you see Newsweek magazine a couple of weeks ago? Did anybody see it? They had Bill Clinton on a white horse. I've got it at Honest. On a big white horse, and he's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and he's got a great big sword, and these dragons are coming out with fire coming out of their mouth, and he's going to slay these dragons. That's right. That's a picture they're printing of our new president. And boy, he looked just like Revelation chapter 6 there, that white horse rider coming out. But said, can he tame Washington? But anyway, those are what you call private interpretation. I've heard people try to put the United States prophecy ever since I've been saved. And you just can't do it. I mean, you have to jump a little bit. See, like, here's Scripture and here's your interpretation. You have to make a little jump there. Leap of faith, you might call it. From here to here to do. You really do, because it don't say it. You're safe as long as you say what the Bible says. When you go off over here and say, I believe it means this, then you're getting on shaky ground. No prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. Now, I'll tell you what, I can jump up and down and prophesy here all day long, but I'll have to stay in the realm of Scripture. As long as I stay in the realm of Scripture, I won't be wrong neither. I can say it with authority. If I stay out of the realm of Scripture and say an angel spoke to me, and told me this or that. Well, you just let it go in one ear and out the other. It might happen and it might not. By the way, do you know how they tested a prophet in the Old Testament? The way they tested a prophet in the Old Testament, every time everything he said had to hit smack dab on the button. If he prophesied and said, "Thus saith the Lord," that something's going to happen, they didn't give him a 40% failure rate like they do Gene Dixon and people like that. Buddy, I mean, it was 100%. If thus saith the Lord, if the Lord said it, it was going to happen. And if they missed it, there's a false prophet. I don't know nobody that does that nowadays. Outside of the scripture. Outside of the scripture. Okay? Now, look at the next verse. For the prophecy came not in old time, that's in the Old Testament mainly, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now let's do some studies on the prophecy of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, go back to Genesis chapter 3. This one is his birth. Way back, 4,000 years before it happened. 4,000 years before it happened. I'm going to show you the prophecy first, then the fulfillment. Get your Bibles now. Genesis chapter number 3, when God was pronouncing the curse upon Adam and Eve, and he told them, Adam, he would have to work by the sweat of his face. Not his eyebrow. He told Eve that she would bear children in sorrow. And then he commanded, turn to the serpent and cursed him. And here is the first, far as I know, clear prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ being born. Bethlehem's manger, right here. Verse 15. He's talking to the devil. Isn't that interesting? God spoke this to the devil. And I will put enmity between thee, the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed, that's the seed of the devil, and her seed, that's the Lord Jesus, he's coming in prophecy. It, her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, you're going to, just like a serpent. Serpent bites you on the heel, but you can bust his head. And that prophecy of what Jesus would one day do to the devil. He'd bust his head. And how he was going to come. Now, there's a lot we can get into on that verse. One good thing I want to point out to you on that verse is it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as it. You see that? Neutral. The gender is neutral. Some people get tore all to pieces because the Bible, the King James Bible, said the Holy Ghost itself over in the book of Romans. And they just go crazy and say, that shouldn't be it. The Holy Ghost is a person. He should say himself. That's one of the favorite kicks that they get off on, saying there's mistakes in the King James Bible. But here it calls the Lord Jesus Christ it. Because he's a seed. That's his seed. It. You ever call your child an it? I have. Sure you have. And when you're referring to the work of the Holy Ghost, it's proper to call him itself, the Holy Spirit itself, the church itself. The church is a woman. The church is a bride-to-be of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it can be a it when you're referring to it. So, you know, don't let little words like that bother you. All right, now here's the fulfillment of that prophecy. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. 4,000 years later, this was written. Here's the way you know the Bible is the Word of God. Here he told that woman in Genesis 3, he said, your seed is going to crush the devil's head. The devil will bite his heel, but he'll mash his head. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Here it is. Galatians 4, verse 4, the fulfillment. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. There it is. There's a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. God sent His Son made of a woman. Of course, there's other scriptures we could use there, but I just wanted to show you that He said of the woman's seed is going to bust the devil's head. That's no accident. That's no accident. If you believe that, why did He say that? Why didn't He turn to Adam and said, one of your sons is going to do it? Because that's the Holy Spirit right in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit said it'll be the woman's seed. You know why? Because Jesus did not have an earthly daddy. He did not have an earthly father. So the Spirit of God talked to the woman and said, your seed is going to bruise the devil's heel. Throw the devil that. Bruise the devil's head. Anybody want to comment on that prophecy back there in Genesis 3:15? Right quick. I got several others I want to show you. All right? He did not just say it was going to be a woman. So far we've got this. Woman's going to have a seed one day that's going to bust the devil's head. Now, let's find out something about that woman. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Now, whether or not you realize it or not, Moses wrote Genesis, Isaiah wrote Isaiah, and Moses and Isaiah did not even know each other. They lived many, many hundreds of years apart. And notice what Isaiah the prophet said in the scripture here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Here it is. Speaking to Israel, in the Old Testament there, and his ministry here, and he was going to give them a sign what God was going to do to get them out of the mess is in. Verse number 14. Therefore, this is 740 B.C., 740 years before it happened. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. My soul, that was the first time in the history of the world that anybody had said anything like that. A virgin is going to have a baby. Now, think about that, people. We hear that at Christmas all the time, where we've got used to it. It runs right off our back. Think about that. A virgin going to have a baby. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he ain't going to be just no normal son neither. And shall call his name Emmanuel. That means what? God with us. It's going to be God down here with us. That's what Emmanuel means. Oh, my soul. Look at that. What a prophecy. I don't believe Isaiah even knew what he was writing when he wrote that. Can't you imagine? He got up one morning and prayed and read his Bible, whatever Bible he had. And boy, he said, oh God, fill me with your power. Lead me. And the Lord said, well, write a little while. But he got out his notebook and started writing. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord, thy God, either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. He's writing his regular prophecies like that. And all of a sudden, he just started writing, therefore the Lord shall, he said, a virgin shall conceive. And he stopped and went, whoa. I got carried away there, Lord. Sorry about that. I'll race that out. And the Lord said, no, leave it just like it is. He didn't know what he was writing. The Holy Ghost took hold of his head, his heart, and his hand and said, right, boy. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I don't really know. Maybe young Bible scholars in here can help me, but I don't think that the Holy Ghost grabbed their hand. It was just like, you know, I think they were right with God and cooperated with the Spirit of God and wrote these prophecies. I don't believe it was mechanical. In other words, you ever seen, I was in the airport the other day and had one of these pianos, and I heard the prettiest Christmas music playing, big old baby grand piano, and there was nobody sitting there. It was programmed. And it's bloom, 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 you know, like that, you know? And there was nobody sitting there. I was going to sit down over there and act like I was doing that, you know? I went over and looked at it for a few minutes. And That thing was programmed. See, I don't believe these prophets were like it. I don't believe they're sitting there, you know, looking out the window and the Holy Ghost had all their. I believe it was going through their head and through their heart, and they was cooperating with the Lord, and the Lord was speaking through them. It's like when a preacher, now you might, you know, there's differences of opinion on this, but a preacher cooperates with the Lord and lets the Lord use him. You know, we don't just get up here and all of a sudden he zaps us into a trance and completely takes over. Some people want to give you that impression.
Amen.
Amen. They want to give you the impression that God just takes over them and they have absolutely no control of it. But that's extremely rare, if ever. The Bible says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know. So sometimes you feel like the Lord's really got a hold of you, but as far as making you do something mechanically, Isaiah was cooperating as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. And he said, a virgin will conceive. Well, let's see it fulfilled. Matthew chapter 1. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Anybody want to say anything on that while we're turning? Yes, sir. That's absolutely right. Well, that prophecy was only 740 years before, but that you're right. They didn't live to see it fulfilled. They thought he was a nut till the day he died. And that's a good point, because sometimes you don't even see your prayers answered while you're living. You know, George Mueller, they said, prayed for them four men. You know that story. And he prayed for them for 50-something years, and he thought, I've wasted my time. And one two of them got saved at his funeral, and the other one right after, and then another year. If you're right and you're on target, it's going to happen. You may be dead and gone when it happens. You know what I thought about is these scribes. Y'all know what a scribe is. A scribe was somebody in the Old Testament or parts of the New Testament. All they done was write, scribble. I reckon that's where that comes from. All they do was wrote the scripture. That's their job. They were not prophets. They just copied the scripture. They didn't have printers or typewriters, so them guys had to write it. So a scribe goes writing. He comes to that part, a virgin shall conceive. Now, I don't know about that. I don't believe that's right. Oh, well, I'm just a scribe. I'm just going to write what he said and go along with it. Now, don't you know that blew their mind? If that had been nowadays, they would have said, well, that's scientifically impossible, and that was an error there in the translations, and we should change that. Them scribes, their job is just to copy the Word of God. The prophets wrote it and prophesied it. All their job to do is copy it. That's our job now, is copy it and preach it and put it out. Not mess with it. Not try to figure it out. Not change it. Just put it out. Put it out. And this thing did happen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Notice how the scripture is fulfilled literally. When his mother was espoused, that's engaged, to Joseph, before they came together physically as husband and wife, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph was a good man, and he said, well, I'm not going to make a public example out of you and shame you. I'm just going to divorce you and get you out of here. And they said, and the Lord spoke to him and said, no, don't do it. Fear not. Everything's right. This is the way it's supposed to be. Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that, verse 20, which is conceived in her, is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. We just read, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's a fulfillment of that scripture. 740 years later. Let's go on further. Now, by the way, those wise men knew the scripture too. When they came to Bethlehem, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and they're coming to worship him." They knew that the scriptures say that that man was the same one as prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me give you some others quick. We're going to have to hurry up here. Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is showing that he's a man and that he would be a prophet. He's a man and he would be a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. This is 1500 B.C. Moses spoke this one, which made Moses Old Testament prophet also. Look at verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet," capital P, "from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me." He said, Moses said, there's a prophet going to come like me. "Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said," in verse 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I command him." And look what the Lord said. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak," the Lord Jesus Christ, "in my name, I will require it of him." All right? You'll see that fulfilled? Acts chapter 3. The Lord had been here. He had died on the cross. He had rose from the dead. He had ascended up into heaven. The apostles were out preaching the gospel. And in Acts chapter 3, in Peter's second sermon there, after he preached that great sermon on Pentecost, his second great sermon here, Acts chapter 3, look at verse number 22. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Here's the fulfillment. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." He's talking of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to find out what tribe he was from, even in the Old Testament. Back to Genesis chapter 49. So far, without a New Testament, you found out that the Lord's going to send a Savior, that he's going to crush the devil's head, that he's going to be born of a virgin, and he's going to be like unto Moses, and anybody that don't hear him is going to be destroyed. You could take the Old Testament and show a Jew that without even having a New Testament. Amen? Think about that. That's a blessing. That's the Word of God, folks. There ain't another book in the world like that. Genesis chapter 49. It even tells what tribe he would come from. Genesis 49:10. The scepter, that's like the royal staff there over the king, you know, the ruler, "shall not depart from Judah." There it is. There's the tribe. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." According to Myers' references, that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." What does Shiloh mean? Anybody know? Nobody know. No, Jerusalem means peace. I don't know what the word. Anybody got a note on what Shiloh means? It ain't a ranch out in Nevada. It's a prophecy of the Lord coming. Does it? Maybe that word means Messiah. Shiloh. Anybody got a? Huh? Rest and Messiah. Yeah, that's what mine says. 2 Samuel, Genesis 3:15. There's no doubt about it being a reference to Christ. I just want to know what the word Shiloh meant. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. There ain't no doubt about that. Anybody else got a definition on it? All right, you know how we know what it's talking about? You know where that scripture is fulfilled? Turn to Revelation chapter 5 and then Luke chapter 3. Revelation chapter 5, right quick. Now you want to share all these with your family when they come over on Christmas Eve. So I know what let's do. Study the Bible. Got a few prophecies I want you to look at. Revelation 5:5. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. Now, Luke chapter 3. There he is, Lion of the tribe of Judah. Luke chapter 3. And here in the book of Luke, chapter number 3, look at verse 33. Luke chapter 3, verse 33. This is the lineage, the ancestry of the Lord Jesus, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ezram, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. And then you trace it all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ there. Okay? He was the tribe of Judah. Now, without a New Testament, we've seen that God's going to send a man. He's going to be a prophet like Moses. Anybody don't listen to him gets destroyed. He's going to bust the devil's head. He's going to come out of the tribe of Judah, and his mother's going to be a virgin. You got all that out of the Old Testament. But that ain't, we ain't through. It even tells the place where he'd be born. Turn to Micah chapter 2. The book of Micah. Micah's one of the real small books in the Old Testament, almost to the end of the Old Testament. Micah chapter number 2, 700 B.C. tells the place where the Messiah would be born. There is no way in the world that all these men, not knowing each other, could have made these prophecies from 4,000 to 700 years before they happened, and all of them be right about the same man. It's impossible. Could not be done unless the Holy Ghost, who knew the future, was in them telling them. These psychics are getting so popular nowadays. You dial 1-900 and get to talk to a psychic, and they tell you they see good things for you. I was out in Texas or somewhere. And they had these psychics, and they were talking, yes, I see this business deal coming up soon in your life, and it's working out. And I can see, you know, they never do tell them, you know, you're going to break your leg tomorrow. Or, you're going to have to get cancer or something like that. You know, you ain't going to get to give you a lot of money for telling them something like that. It's always great things are going to happen. Oh, you better watch out. This love you're involved in right now will soon end. Or, you know, you'll find better after that or something like that. That's junk. This is the real stuff here. Tell the man's going to be born 4,000 years ahead of time and where he's going to be born and his mama's going to be a virgin. Buddy, that ain't that play stuff they have on TV. Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Here we go. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, all the thousands of little communities and stuff, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee, unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. How do you know what he's talking about, preacher? Whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. Hallelujah. Amen. There he is. 700 years before he was born, Micah said, scanning around all those thousands of little cities, boom, Bethlehem. See? It'd be just like you looking over North Carolina. See? There's Valdez. You know, there's Lenore, there's Hickory, Hudson, Granite Falls, Morgan and Spruce Pine, Burnsville, Asheville, Bakersville, and down there's Glenwood, and Nebo. See? Got it. I mean, on the button, brother, on the button, he scanned all those thousand cities and said, Bethlehem. He's coming out of Bethlehem that's going to rule Israel, and he's been from everlasting. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? It tells his position, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. The book of Isaiah tells his position, what he's going to do. Now you talk about a prophecy. This is a prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9. This is unbelievable nearly in the Old Testament. Now imagine the New Testament hadn't happened. Jesus hadn't came to this earth. The New Testament had never taken place yet. They had never seen or heard anything like this. And notice what he says. Isaiah 9, 6. My soul, 700 years ahead of time. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Man, look at this. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Capital, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. There's talking about a son being born called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Boy, you talk about a verse that'll make a Jehovah Witness nervous. Lordy mercy. Woo! That's why they change the King James Bible and make a New World Translation. There, you can't miss the deity of Christ in that verse. The Mighty God. This man's the Mighty God. This man's the Everlasting Father. But how's he the Everlasting Father? How's he born? He's the God man. For where who come from? Oh, brother. He's the Everlasting Father. Boy, we're in a mess if he's the Everlasting Father. Lordy mercy. That's something, ain't it? Of the increase of his government. Do you realize what you just read? Of the increase of government, there'll be no end. That means his government's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Forever and ever and ever. You ever wonder why God made all them planets? And outer space? People say, well, it was the Big Bang from millions of years ago. Nah, something he's got planned for the future. He's going to do stuff with them things one of these days. They're just hanging out there waiting. Of the increase of the Lord's government. Who knows? During in the eternal age, when we live in the new city, we might have to several billion light years away and have other planets doing this and that, you know, and check on things and go in and out and all kind of wild stuff like that. You never know what the Lord may have planned for that. Now, I'm not talking about other Earths or people from Mars and that like that. Don't get excited. I'm talking about in the plan of God. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. So, from the Word of God, we have established from the Old Testament that there's a man going to be born. He is going to be a man, but he's going to be called the Christian Father. His mother's a virgin. He's coming out of the tribe of Judah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, how many people's that happened to? How many people have been born in Bethlehem and their mother was a virgin and there's of the tribe of Judah and their name is called Emmanuel, God with us and all of that stuff. And just to make sure nobody could miss it, he even puts the time when he'd be born. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. He even tells when he's coming the first time. Now, this is what you call the 70 weeks of Daniel. We won't have time to go into this tonight. We will. I have done it before, and I will do it again, Lord willing, sometime. We'll get into this. I'd like to show all of our new converts what the Bible says about Daniel's 70 weeks. And it's a very interesting study. It tells you when the Lord's coming the first time and lays out the picture of the second coming. Back in the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. All right. Now Daniel praying, he's confessing his sins. And an angel come and touched him and informed him. And he told him in verse 22 of chapter 9 that he's going to give him understanding. And he said at the beginning of the commandment, I've done this and done that. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish transgression, see, to wind up sin, to make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Now, he said you got 70 weeks, Daniel. Now, I want to take time to show you tonight, but you can show prophetically that a prophetic week each day stands for a year. So each one of those weeks represents 7 years. 70 weeks, 490 years. He said, Daniel, it's going to be 490 years until everlasting righteousness comes in. When he said this, there's a problem. There's been a lot more than 490 years went by. Here's the answer to it. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, that's back there in the book of Ezra, chapter, when the king commanded to restore and build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince, Jesus Christ, shall be 7 weeks. How long's that? 49 years. And 62 weeks. That's 62, right? So you got 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many weeks is that? 69. He said, and from the commandment going forth till Messiah comes will be 69 weeks. That's exactly 483 years. And that's exactly what happened. From the time Ezra gave the king the commandment, till the time Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem and they put the palm branches in front of him and he made his triumphal entry there, 483 years. At least 1 week or what? 7 years. Now, the Jews rejected the Lord. Right? When they rejected the Lord, the gospel turned to the Gentiles. The prophetic timetable stops when the Jews are out of fellowship with God. God put in a 2,000-year grace period here for Gentiles, which we're in right now. As soon as that's over, the clock goes back on, and you got 7 years left. That last week, that's the tribulation. That's how you know that the tribulation lasts 7 years, even though the word 7 years is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. A lot of people think the tribulation is only going to be 3.5 years because they don't understand Daniel chapter 9. You don't get 7 years out of Revelation. You get 7 years out of Daniel. The 7 years didn't mention Revelation. It's always 42 months, 3.5, 3.5, 3.5. But there's 2 3.5s making 7. The last week or the last 7 years, 483 before his first coming and the last 7 right before his the second advent. But we're in the 2,000-year grace period now, stuck right in between the 69th and 70th week, between 483 and 490. Anybody got any questions on that? So in the Old Testament, that when that commandment was given to go forth to rebuild Jerusalem, that it'd be 483 years till the Messiah come. And sure enough, right on the money. When them guys came to Bethlehem, they said, we've seen his star in the east. It's time for him to come. He's the one that God spoke about. You know, I can just see him doing that. Back here in Genesis 3:15, he's the one that Moses spoke about when he said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto me. Him shall you hear." He's the one that Isaiah said be born of a virgin, and Genesis said would come out of the tribe of Judah, and Micah said would be born in Bethlehem, and Daniel said it'd be 483 years, and Isaiah said he'd be the mighty God, everlasting Father. There's no way you could admit. God told you the place. God told you the time. God told you his mother would be a virgin. God told you the town would be Bethlehem. And God told you he'd be God in the flesh. There's no way you could miss it. No way you can miss it. Amen? Any questions? Any questions on that? Now we have no doubt in our mind when we see all those scriptures fulfilled that all them other scriptures are going to be fulfilled too. That means one of these days the devil's going to be cast into a lake of fire, literally. That means if you're not saved, you'll be cast into hell, literally. It's really going to happen, just like all them other scriptures. He's really going to come back in the sky. There's a lot of people didn't believe he's going to come that first time, but he did. You know who believed? Shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, not scientists. You know who believes now? Shepherds keeping watch over the flock by night. We're in nighttime. Not scientists. Not doctors and lawyers necessarily. Shepherds doing the will of God, keeping watch over God's flock. Ain't that something? That Bible, some book, you know. Anybody got any questions right there? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It cannot, it will not fail. Lord, you said one jot, one tittle would not pass away till all is fulfilled. We pray, our Father, that you would move in the hearts and lives of every person here. We thank you that our faith has been increased tonight with the study of thy Word. Thank you, Lord, that you came on time. You got here on time. You died on time. You rose again on time. And you'll be back on time. Help us to live faithfully for you until that day. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.